Certainly a joy to be in God's house today. We do want to welcome you to the services here at Meridian Baptist Church. And if you are visiting with us today, we're glad that you're here. And our heartbeat and our prayer, as always, is that you experience God's presence as we worship the Lord together. Do us a favor. We want to get acquainted with you. If you're visiting with us, take just a few moments and fill out the guest card located there in the pew and simply place that in the offering plate at the appropriate time so that we can rejoice in your attendance with us today. Let's all stand as we dedicate this service to the Lord. Today is a special day as we'll be observing communion, gathering at the Lord's table, and so always a special time of fellowship as a church family as we partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper. And also, we're kicking off VBS this week. Doesn't the sanctuary look great? To God be the glory. I'm thankful for that, and we're expecting great things for this year's VBS. So let's pray together. Father, we are so overwhelmed and thankful for your goodness and your grace that you bestow and that you provide each and every day. God, as we dedicate this service to you, we ask in advance, Lord, that everything that we do, everything that we would say, Lord, that everything that would take place would be done so in such a way to make your name great, to give you glory, to give you honor. Lord, it's not about Meridian Baptist Church. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the music department. It's not about any of these things. But Lord, it's all about you. And so that's our heartbeat and that's our prayer today. Lord, as we partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, we pray that we truly would see that act for what it is. It truly is an act of worship. Lord, we truly want to worship you in spirit and in truth, just like we read in John chapter 4. So, Lord, we dedicate this time to you, and we ask that your name would be glorified. Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Remain standing, if you will.
Our hope for years to come. familiar with. Y'all sing out, okay?
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life when atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may.
Children can come for the children's story here at the front steps. All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Oh, I love you brought your Bibles. Good job. All right, I have a can here. Who thinks they can open it with their hands? I see those guns. You ready? Go for it. I'm going to hold on to it. Oh, it didn't open, did it? Oh, you're supposed to have a can opener? You think that would help? I think that would help too. It doesn't even have the pop top, does it? Are you okay? You hurt your hand? Oh, sometimes we can hurt ourselves when we do stuff on our own. We probably shouldn't, huh? Well, that's going to help us with our story today. Are you ready? Okay. Here we go. As kids, you're probably always asking for a little help, right? Whether it might be to tie your shoes. Mom, tie my shoe. Or maybe you just wear Velcro shoes to keep from having to do that, huh? Would you keep working on it for yourself? I know Grayson kept working on it. He knew he could get it, right? Or do you think you could ask an adult to help you? I like what Colton said. We need a can opener. Can we get one? Yeah, exactly. So the older you get, did you know that's the stronger you get? Mm-hmm.
I'm
going to
be strong.
You're going to be strong. I believe it. And the more you're going to be able to rely on your own strength for simple tasks, but you know what? God even wants us to rely on Him for simple tasks, okay? But He also wants us, when we can't do it ourselves, to ask Him for help as well. God's word can help us through those tough times, maybe through challenges that life may bring us when we can't open that can. No matter how old you are, how strong you are, you can't do everything in your own strength. Give those challenges to God and give them to Him like that stuck can we had. We needed can opener to get. And let God make you strong. Cool beans? You've been talking about strength, so that's what you're going to talk about in big church downstairs, okay? So give your teacher all your attention today when you talk about strength, all right? Well, let's pray. God, we just thank you so much that you are our strength in all times, not just in times of trouble, but in times that things are going well. May we praise you and give you all the glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you will, stand with me for the reading of God's word. If you have your bulletin, it'll be on the front there for our daily reading. Today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. And they say this: Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many and for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to gather in this room to worship you. God, but how grateful we are to be able to sit today in remembrance of the great sacrifice you did on our behalf, purchasing our freedom, purchasing our community, God, ultimately purchasing our lives. Our eternal lives. And God, how grateful we are to know that we do not have to wait for some day for eternity to begin, but that if we are believers now, we have already entered into eternity with you, that you will never leave us. You are always with us. You will always love us. You will always care for us. You will always provide for us. God, may we come with a heart feeling that, ready to pour out praise to you for who you are. And God, may we leave here knowing who we are called to be. God, it's in your name I pray. Amen. Take a moment to greet those around you.
Make it back to your seats. Let's sing together. Blood of the
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such a beautiful world. And the beauty that we see when we walk with you, we know the creation that you've done for us. We thank you for what you give us, what you do for us, and it is our pleasure and our honor to return a portion of that to you. The more we return to you, it seems, the more you give us, and we appreciate it. And I want to pray that you'll be with our Vacation Bible School this week, watch over and bless it, and encourage the children to come closer and know you better. In our Lord's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
The sons of the earth, how beautiful the feet that walked the long dusty roads and the hills to the cross. How as he lived, willing to pay the price, willing to pay the price. How beautiful the radiant bride who waits for her groom with his light in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of pure lives so that others may live. How the sons of the earth, how beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ.
Take your Bibles, if you will, and find Matthew, the 26th chapter. Thank you, Brother Dennis. And what a special service it is as we partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, always a very special and meaningful service, always a worshipful service. I mentioned in my prayer as we began the fact that communion, partaking of the elements of the Lord's Supper, is truly an act of worship. I heard a story about a little girl who attended big church for the first time on a Sunday morning when they were observing the Lord's Supper, and as the elements of the Lord's Supper were served, she whispered over to her mother and said, "The snack in the nursery is better, and we get a lot more juice." And clearly that little girl didn't understand the significance of the Lord's Supper. We all can appreciate that. And so we do this quarterly as a church. It's something very special and meaningful. It's something that I've always, in my ministry, taken seriously. I feel like in many ways throughout Christendom, this has been one of the chief elements of what we see within church life that brings a congregation together. But sadly, in many evangelical circles, it seems as if the Lord's Supper is just almost an afterthought, something that's just attached to maybe the end of a service. And in many ways, I feel like it has lost its meaning and its intention. And so one of my prayers today, one of my heartbeats as a pastor and as our congregation, that we would come to the table today with a greater appreciation and a greater understanding of what really the Lord's Supper means and what is involved with the Lord's Supper. And so one of the first things that I want to drive home, and this is not necessarily on your outline, I just want to really lay this groundwork that what we're doing today as a church, as a collective body of believers, as a congregation, as we gather at the Lord's table, it is an act of worship. And so worship is a buzzword these days. It's a word that is oftentimes overused, and there's so many misunderstandings of what worship is. And in some cases, when we talk about worship, a lot of times our mind just simply goes to maybe the music. Maybe the music portion of the service is what is referenced when somebody mentions worship. And I believe we all know this deep down in our heart. Really, in essence, all that we do as a church ought to be worship. Every action that we do as a body of believers, as we live out the gospel, as we go into our community and evangelize and share the good news of gospel, all of those things that fall under that umbrella of ministry is worship. And so when we do gather together, such as this morning, today, everything that we do in this service ought to be an act of worship, from any announcements to any updates on sick folks, any messages that we might have for the church, or singing of the hymns, or preaching of the word. Everything that we do ought to be seen as an act of worship. And so it's important that we lay that groundwork and truly understand what the Lord's Supper means and what it represents. You're going to notice on the back of your bulletin, I do have six things that I want us to quickly consider today. And I say quickly, not that we're going to necessarily rush through them per se, but I do feel like maybe I'm trying to put too much information into one message. This probably could have been two separate messages, but this is the way that the Lord laid it upon my heart. So we do want to try to unpack this together today. There's so many things that I could say about the Lord's Supper. I love the term communion. A lot of Baptists don't use the term communion, but it's a biblical term, and that's one of the things that we'll focus on today, because when we do partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, we are expressing our communion with Christ and our communion with each other. But our passage of Scripture today is Matthew chapter 26, and I want us to look at verses 26 through 28. And this is what I want us to note about this particular instance in Matthew's gospel. As they were up in the upper room, this is what it says. "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray together. Father, we are so forever grateful for your continual love, your steadfast love, love that we do not deserve. And Lord, as this morning, as we come together as a believing congregation to circle around your table, so to speak, as a congregation that partakes of these elements today, Lord, I pray that we truly would see it for what it is. It's an act of worship. It is a time of communion. It is a time of reflection, the opportunity for we as believers to come together as a believing local body, Meridian Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, that we come together in this moment to give you glory, to give you praise, and to give you honor. And Lord, that we would understand the significance and the severity of what truly the Lord's Supper means. Lord, we're reminded of your grace and your mercy through what we have sung this morning, and we find comfort in these great hymns of the faith. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts in just a few moments to partake of these elements, we pray that it truly would be a time of reflection, a time to reflect upon where we individually stand with you, and then also collectively as a body of believers, how we stand with each other. Lord, it is so important as a congregation that we be a congregation marked by harmony and unity. Lord, that we would be a unified body of believers. And one of those aspects of unity is pictured in what takes place today. And so, Lord, we know that the communion table is always a reminder of truly the unity that ought to be demonstrated within the local body of believers. And so, Father, we ask in advance that you would prepare our hearts and that we truly would be ready to worship you in this fashion. Father, we love you and we praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. There's so many things that I could say about the Lord's Supper, but just a few things that I feel like the Lord laid upon my heart. And again, just to kind of lay out what the service looks like today, I do plan to bring this abbreviated message, so to speak. I won't be long in my opening thoughts here, and then we will extend a gospel invitation and give people the opportunity to respond to the message. And then after the invitation, we'll come back together and gather at the Lord's table, so to speak, and partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper. But I think the first thing that I would want to drive home today, if you're taking notes, and I'll ask the fellows to put it on the screen, but it's simply this, that the Lord's Supper is a remembrance. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. These are the words and instructions of our Lord to his disciples as they gathered in the upper room, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. And so Jesus told his disciples that they were going to proclaim his death until he returned. And the bread and the fruit of the vine, the body and the blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper, it is a representation of a covenant sacrifice. And so it truly indicates the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself up as a sacrifice in our place for the forgiveness of sins. I am so thankful, and I know you hear me say this in some capacity every Sunday, whether it be the gospel invitation or whether it be somewhere woven into my message each week, I drive home the message of the gospel that he who knew no sin did what? Became sin for us. In other words, Christ did for us what you and I could not do for ourselves. We have this sin problem that separates us from God. And because of this sin problem, we're not able to have proper relationship with God the Father. And so the only way that we can be in right standing with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ, who became sin for us. And so as Jesus died on the cross, and we consider the events that surrounded the cross of Calvary and the redemptive work of our Lord, and I'll say more about redemption in just a moment, but the Lord's Supper is a remembrance. We gather in this moment, we partake of the elements together collectively, corporately, as a body of believers, as the Meridian family, and we do so to remember. Remember what Christ has done for you and for me. And so the Lord's Supper is a remembrance. We ponder the work of atonement that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. Number two this morning, if you're taking notes, the Lord's Supper is a celebration of God's presence. I'm brokenhearted oftentimes when I read articles or see where people or churches maybe they've diminished the value and the beauty of what really the Lord's table is all about. They've lost sight of what the communion table means and what the Lord's Supper represents. And they just casually partake of the elements, and it could be one of many things. Maybe it's the fact that they're taking it so often every week that it's lost meaning and it's become redundant and robotic. Or maybe they've just attached it to the end of a service and it's become some sort of afterthought. I heard of one church in Arkansas that they were in such a rush to approach the Lord's Supper that they were just handing people the elements as they left for that Sunday and they could just take it at home. What a travesty that we've lost sight of what it's represented and meant when we collectively come together. The Bible makes it clear that it's a celebration. We as believers, as a congregation, the Meridian family, we come in this moment and we celebrate God's presence. And so as we partake of the elements, we're reminded of the body and the blood of our Lord, and we celebrate the promise of His return. It's a time that we reflect upon His goodness. And so the Lord's Supper is to be a celebration of God's presence. Number three, I would say this, and I've already alluded to it, but let's go a little bit further in our thought. Number three, the Lord's Supper is a communion. The Lord's Supper is a communion. I've always wondered why Baptists are so afraid to call the Lord's Supper communion. It seems like we rarely hear that. I use it all the time because the Lord's Supper is a communion. It is a time of fellowship. We commune together. And that is not only amongst ourselves as believers. Yes, that is true, and I'll say more about that in just a moment. But most importantly, it's about our communion with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, there's the vertical relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father that is demonstrated in the elements of the Lord's Supper, and yet there's also the communion that we have with each other as a body of believers. And so there's multiple factors of communion going on. But the Lord's Supper is a communion. I am so forever grateful, and I promise you, I am not laying it on thick, Meridian Baptist Church, but I am so forever grateful for the spirit of unity and sweet fellowship that we have here within the Meridian family. We are blessed with a very peaceful congregation. I am thankful that God has blessed us with a sweet fellowship where people get along and people fellowship. And so there's something to be said that when we partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, and I'll say more about this when we actually partake later in the service, but there's something to be said when we take that spiritual inventory and we look into our hearts and when we make sure that we're not only in right standing with God first and foremost, but we also make sure that we're in right standing with others. And so it's important to have communion together. And when I say communion, I mean fellowship. It's important to have that healthy relationship with each other. It's vital that we understand that unity is a necessity within the local church. Number four, I would say this on your outline. Again, we're just skimming through the surface of these topics. Each of these points could have served its own message, but I'll simply say this on number four. The Lord's Supper is spiritual nourishment. It's a means of grace. It's one of God's appointed ways by which He builds us up and nourishes us and confirms our faith and strengthens us for growth. I mean, obviously, when you look at the actual portion sizes of the elements of the Lord's Supper, don't get me wrong, it's not necessarily there to somehow physically fill us up. To the contrary, it is it symbolizes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. It symbolizes the death of Christ on the cross, what the ordinances of the church do, and we're reminded, we are built up, we are encouraged, and we are confirmed in our faith, the growth that is found in Jesus Christ. So it's not intended necessarily to provide some sort of physical nourishment, but it is a reminder of spiritual nourishment. Number five, I would say this. The Lord's Supper is a message of redemption. The Lord's Supper is a message of redemption. I am so thankful that I have been redeemed. And I know that you would echo and hearken that same sentiment. We as God's people, we as the children of God, ought to be so thankful that we have been redeemed. I mean, that's at the heart of the gospel. And as we partake of the elements and we think about what transpires in a service such as this, we are reminded of what Christ has done for us, that we now have proper standing with God, not because anything that we've done or anything that we've accomplished, we fall short, but rather it's what Christ has done for us. And so we've been put in right standing, placed in right position, so to speak. And so the Lord's Supper is a message of redemption. Finally, number six, I would say this. The Lord's Supper is an anticipation of the glory to come. Let me say that again. The Lord's Supper is an anticipation of the glory to come. Jesus washed the disciples' feet on the night that he was betrayed, and he served them the elements of the Lord's Supper. Interestingly, when Jesus speaks of the marriage supper of the Lamb in glory, when the great end has come and all have acknowledged him to be king, he says that on that day he will bid us all to recline just like the disciples reclined on the night of the Lord's Supper, and he will gird himself and serve us. Yes, in the Lord's Supper, we anticipate the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we will all sit down with one another in glory, and our Savior will serve us again everything we need. What a joy it is to come to the Lord's table. And so as we gather today, there is an anticipation. There's something that we yearn for. There's something that we look forward to. Isn't it wonderful to know, dear Christian friend, that this earth that we live upon, this fallen society that we are a part of, that is so sin-stained and marred and broken, that we can long for a better day in glory? And so the Lord's Supper is an anticipation of the glory to come. I want every head bowed and every eye closed as we prepare for our gospel invitation this morning. And again, after the gospel invitation, I'll return to the podium and we will have the remainder of our service as we will partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper. But maybe you're here today and maybe something has been said that has spoken to your heart. Maybe there's something that has been said that has resonated with you today. And you were reminded about where you stand with the Lord. The Bible says, there is none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means that in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our sinfulness, in our sinful condition, by the grace of God, God provided the way of salvation through his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. The Bible also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So salvation is not based upon church membership. It's not based upon your status in society. It's not based upon your family heritage. It's based on the individual decision on whether or not you've accepted or rejected the truth of the gospel and whether or not you've said yes to Christ. And so as we have a gospel invitation, I want to invite you in just a moment, If you've never done that, if you've never nailed that down and you need to get that straightened out today, I invite you to step out. I would be so honored to sit down with you and show you within the pages of God's Word what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you are a believer. Maybe you're just going through a difficult time. Maybe you're in need of prayer. Every week we are blessed to see people come to this altar and pray. I encourage you, if that describes you, you come today. And if you need prayer, I would be honored to pray with you as your pastor. Then finally, maybe there's another decision that needs to be made, whether it be for church membership. Maybe you're looking for a church home. And God is leading you to unite with the fellowship here at Meridian Baptist Church. If that's the case, we invite you to make that public today so that we can celebrate in your decision. Or maybe you're here today and you've never followed in believer's baptism. And you've been convicted about that. You've already been saved, but you haven't stepped out for believer's baptism. If that's the case, why not make it today and we can celebrate in that decision with you? Heavenly Father, we give you this invitation. And we are so thankful for your grace and your mercy that you provide each and every day. And Lord, I know that we've taken just a few moments today to look at these six quick thoughts pertaining to the Lord's Supper. And Lord, in just a moment, as we gather together to actually partake, we pray that our hearts and our thoughts and our affections would be upon you and you alone. Lord, that we would rest in you and find treasure in you. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that needs to do business with you, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would step out and make that public today. Father, we are so thankful for the grace you provide. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts for our service, we ask that we would be in right standing with you. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. Brother Dennis.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I wash my garments white in the blood paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
You may be seated. I would like to turn our attention to Luke, the 22nd chapter. One of the things I've already mentioned this morning is the fact that the Lord's Supper is an ordinance. I've heard people describe an ordinance as the gospel in picture. And so we think about what the Lord's Supper represents and what it means, and that's truly what it is. And so in Luke chapter 22, verse 14, the Bible says this: "And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And then verse 20 says this: "And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" So when we think about what an ordinance means, it reflects and shows the redemptive work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as Southern Baptists, what do we believe? We believe there are two ordinances of the church. We believe there's two actions that we find within the New Testament that demonstrate the redemptive act of our Lord Jesus. The first one, of course, is baptism. We think about baptism. What it means is we stir the waters of baptism when we have someone who demonstrates their faith in Christ by following in believer's baptism. We see the redemptive work of Christ by the symbolization of death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord. And also the Lord's Supper. This is the second ordinance of the church. It symbolizes the body of our Lord that was broken and his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, which reflects the redemptive work of Christ. It has been said that an ordinance is the gospel in picture, a picture portraying the gospel. And so neither ordinance has any saving power, but rather baptism is an ordinance of identification, while the Lord's Supper is an ordinance of commemoration. And so the institution of the Lord's Supper came from Jesus himself. It's not some man-made religious ritual. Think about it. Instead, it originated where? In the upper room in Jerusalem, just a few hundred feet from the garden where Christ would be betrayed and from the garden where he would be crucified and buried. But what do we really believe about the Lord's Supper as Baptists, as a church, as Meridian Baptist Church? What do we believe? What does it say in our statement of faith as a congregation? Well, this is what we believe as Southern Baptists. The Lord's Supper symbolizes the body of our Lord that was broken and his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, reflecting the redemptive work of Christ. The Lord's Supper is a symbolic act of obedience whereby members of the church, through partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine, memorialize the death of the Redeemer and anticipate his second coming. It is in no sense a sacrifice, but is designed to commemorate his death, to confirm the faith and other graces of Christians, and to be a bond, pledge, and renewal of their communion with him and of their church fellowship. And so I think one of the things that I've hammered home today is the severity and the seriousness of the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul wrote to the early church at Corinth and stressed the importance of being right with God and our fellow man and sister, our brother and sister in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 says this: "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And so we think about every time that we collectively come together at the Lord's table and we partake of the elements, we all know and understand that one of the things that we do is we examine our hearts. We want to be in right standing. What does this really involve? Well, I've shared this before. This has always been one of my go-to brief little outlines that you could put in a communion service. It's not on your bulletin. It's not on an outline of sorts for you to read, but I think we can certainly take it and apply it to our lives. What does it really mean that we examine? What does that look like when Paul tells the church at Corinth that they are to examine themselves? What does that mean for Meridian Baptist Church today? On July 13th, 2025, as we partake of the elements, what does it mean when we say that we need to examine ourselves? Well, here's the quick little outline, my little go-to. I think it involves four looks. The first thing I would say is it involves a backward look. We look back to the cross of Calvary. We look back into the pages of the past and we see the redemptive work of Christ. And I've already made that clear in my earlier remarks, but this involves a backward look. We look back to Calvary. We reflect on the redemptive work that took place in that moment. I would also say it involves a forward look. There ought to be something woven in every believer that longs and yearns for the return of our Lord Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you've trusted Christ, and maybe that's something you don't really relate to. I urge you, I beseech you, I beg you, there ought to be something woven in you that yearns for His return. That you are so over, so to speak, this fallen world that we live in, that you yearn for the return of our Lord. So there's not only a backward look into the pages of the past, but there's a forward look, looking ahead and yearning for that return. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, as you partake of these elements, when you gather together to do this, one of the things that you do so in remembrance of Christ, but also you eagerly anticipate His second coming. And so there's a forward look, there's a backward look, there's a forward look, and then there's an inward look. That's when we look in our own hearts to make sure that we're right with the Lord. We want to make sure that our heart is right with God, that vertically speaking, that our relationship with God is in right standing, that we're not harboring or coddling sin in any fashion, in any way in our lives would hinder our relationship with God. We want to be clean before the Lord. Then finally, there's what I call an outward look, looking out to others and making sure that we're in right standing and right fellowship with those around us, that we've not allowed any type of sin to be a wedge, so to speak. We don't want people that are at odds with each other in the church partaking of the elements. They need to be not only in right standing with God, but right standing with each other. Again, that goes back to my earlier comments on the theme of communion. If you're at odds with a brother or sister in the faith, and there's some sort of wedge between the two of you, you ought not to partake of the elements. You need to get that situation made right before you gather at the Lord's table. And so if you are in that type of situation today, I urge you to not partake today. You don't have to make it a scene. You don't need to make it a big production. I'm just simply saying that's what the Scripture teaches. You don't need to partake of the elements if there's something wrong with a brother or sister in Christ in one of your relationships. A few other things that I always like to share before we gather at the Lord's table. Sadly, in many evangelical circles, there's just been a real lackadaisical approach to the Lord's Supper when it comes to children. Just if the children are present, oh sure, just pass the fruit of the vine and the bread to them and let them partake. But the Scripture teaches that that is for baptized believers. Allow it to be a teaching moment, but they need to refrain from partaking of the elements of the Lord's Supper. What a great conversation on the way home in the car. What a great teaching moment. But to just haphazardly allow your child to partake when they haven't followed in believer's baptism, when they haven't trusted in Christ, it's a travesty to just let them haphazardly take that. So I do encourage parents and grandparents to always keep these things in mind. Again, what a great opportunity we have today to partake together. And so what I want us to do now, we're going to have a time of silent prayer, giving every one of us the opportunity to do business with the Lord and to pray to Him and to be clean before Him. And after an appropriate period of time, I will bring us back together and I'll call our deacons forward at that point. And we will distribute the elements of the Lord's Supper. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so forever grateful that we have this most awesome privilege to gather at your table today. And Lord, as we partake of the elements of communion, we pray that our thoughts and our affections would be completely upon you. Lord, help us to know and see the gospel in picture, that literally what is demonstrated here is a reminder of the sacrificial death of your Son Jesus, and that through that redeeming work, we have eternal life. Father, we're also grateful for prayer, that we can come clean to you. We can be made right. We can be made whole. We can be placed in right standing. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we hold on to that promise and we hold on to that prayer. And Lord, as we partake these elements in just a moment, we know the privilege and the honor to be a part of such a special time. Father, we love you and we praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm now going to ask our deacon body to come forward in preparation to serve communion. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 through 17 says this: the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful for the chance to be here this morning. And Lord, as we distribute these elements, we ask that this truly would be a time of worship and celebration. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we bring our thoughts to the bread. In John chapter 6, verses 32 through 35, it says this: Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Arthur Kirkland, would you please lead us in a word of prayer?
If you'll please bow with me, a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we confess our sins to you and ask for your forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us worthy to partake of this holy bread. We thank you, Lord, for this precious gift of communion. As we partake of the bread, may we also be filled with your love and grace. May we be strengthened to go forth and share your light with the world. We remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. May this bread be for us a means of grace, drawing us closer to you and to one another. In his name we pray. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, it says this, "And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Partake. Now at this time, we bring our thoughts to the fruit of the vine. In John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, it says this, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Brother Tommy Lavelle, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Most gracious and merciful God, the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And when Jesus, we thank you that you, when you came to the Garden of Gethsemane, your wish was that this cup could pass from you, but then you said, "But not my will, thine be done." And we thank you that you did the Father's will, shedding your blood on the cross so that we can have redemption from sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
1 Corinthians 11, 25 says this, "In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' Partake." Verse 26 says this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together, and I'm going to ask Brother Dennis if he would lead us in a closing hymn. That is how they departed, and that is the way that we will depart today from our service. God bless you.